Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 till 6. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thank you, God. The next verse I will be reading today will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 6. So we're moving over to the New Testament now. Matthew chapter 6, from 12 to 15. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word.
Well, we're going to start with a prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful, enduring word. We thank you for its relevance to us today. And we're praying, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word in such a way that it will be indeed a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Help us to learn things, Lord, not only for ourselves today, but also to pass on to others, whether it be our children or others who would need this wonderful message. I'm saying wonderful, Lord, because it is wonderful that not only you forgive us, but you give us the ability to forgive one another. Thank you, Lord, for that. So, Lord, speak, we pray. Your servants are listening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, in giving us the model for daily prayer, as Mo so wonderfully read, he said, and forgive us our debts. That's the debt we owe to God. We owe to him to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we've accrued a huge debt because we haven't. And then he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And here's the scary bit. I don't know if you've been scared by this, but I certainly have. The scary bit is this. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, it's all very well telling us to do so. I'm going to, this morning, attempt by God's grace to tell us how to do so. How do we forgive? And to do that, we're going to divide ourselves into two categories. The sins into two categories. The small ones, the small sins, or the easy to forgive sins, and the large sins, those that are exceptionally difficult for us to forgive. I believe that the release, the freedom, and the inner healing, and the joy, and the transformation of forgiveness is too wonderful and too life-changing for words. First of all, we go to Mark chapter 11, dealing with the small or easy to forgive offenses. Mark 11, verse 25 and 26. I'm reading from the Amplified Version, where the Bible says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop, leave it, and let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your failings and shortcomings and let them drop. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your failings and shortcomings. Now, I've got Rob and Jean. I've asked them to volunteer to help me here. And they've decided that as a romantic romantic time out, they're going to learn how to dance. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Now, Jean, she has her toes stepped on so many times that she starts to get angry. And she writes this down on what we call a charge sheet, which she holds to the back of Rob. Now, Rob's not aware of what's written on there. He doesn't know why she's getting angrier by the minute. And so he thinks she's wrecking their romance with her anger again. And so she's asking, so he holds the charge sheet against her. Now they go round and round in circles. They lose eye contact and their relationship. Their relationship suffers. But there comes a time when Jean realizes this husband of hers has got two left feet. So decides she's going to let this drop. Her relationship with him is too precious to let something like this come between them. He drops his sheet as well. They hug each other. They decide on another date out. Either that, or she's got to bring her steel-capped boots. So she let it drop, let it go. She left it. It's still there. It's on the floor. And they're away. And they're free from those charge sheets. Perhaps the greatest motivation that we have to forgive one another is the knowledge that our Heavenly Father has forgiven us. Another motivation, and it's a big one, is that God's repeated commandment to us to forgive, and his warnings towards us that a failure on our part to forgive affects his willingness to forgive us. Here's something to remember. Our commitment to love another flawed human being carries with it a commitment to time and time again forgive them, like you'd want them to forgive you. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, he says, above all things, have fervent, the Amplified Version says, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins. The Amplified Version says, love forgives and disregards the offenses of others. They say, there's a saying, I think it was Tim LaHaye who said, if you love somebody more than you love yourself, you'll make excuses for their behavior. But then there's a gold standard for love. Love is patient, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Jeannie fell down on that one. Love is kind, is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. That's the gold standard for love. May God help us to have that kind of love. So we see how to forgive small sins. Life is too short for them to spoil relationships. So we let them drop, leave them, let them go. And now we're going to look at the big ones. If you could come to the front again, the two of you. Thank you very much. Now we're going to talk about Jean holding a charge sheet against Rob. Now this is a true story. It was written in the local County Times, the person involved said, I can tell the story, but you won't know who it is. But there are some offences, such as betrayal, infidelity, slander, incest, violence, childhood abuse, rape, abandonment, and so on and so on, which seem impossible to simply drop and let go. There's a huge debt involved here, and if simply dropped, it would leave us with a great sense of bankruptcy and injustice. We want the offender to pay dearly for his crime. And we're afraid that just letting it drop will let him off the hook. But there's a wonderful solution. A wonderful solution that brings us true freedom and the offender true justice. So, Jean's charge sheet she's holding against Rob are things she believes are unforgivable. She will never forgive him. It began shortly after they were married. She discovered that she was pregnant. She was delighted. But Rob had just begun his career, and he wanted to be able to buy his first house before starting a family. So he persuaded her to have an abortion. After the termination, Rob dealt with his guilt by drinking heavily. She colluded, because she forgave him. She colluded with him by telling his employees that he was ill whenever drink robbed him of the ability to go to work. She remained deeply traumatized. Nevertheless, she cleaned up his vomit and washed his soiled clothes because he became an alcoholic. She kept the home fires going and single-handedly raised their two children. It was when she discovered the 100-pound checks that he was issuing were going to prostitutes that she ran out of forgiveness. She could not forgive him. So all the other things came onto the charge sheet as well. She picked up everything else that she had dropped and laid it on his back. She kicked him out of the home. Her charge sheet was big. How could she forgive him? Wherever he went, she went with him. Because she was holding this thing against him, this charge sheet. He occupied her waking thoughts, her thoughts throughout the day, and her thoughts until tiredness overwhelmed her at night. She even dreamt about him. How on earth was she going to break free? Now, one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible says, in 1 John 2, verse 1, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's incredible. That's amazing. So Jean has an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. The way she'll be able to forgive Rob is to ask the Lord Jesus. If I can be the Lord Jesus in this, to ask the Lord Jesus to hold the sheet against. Thank you, Jean. The acrostic for faith is F-A-I-T-H, for all I trust him. Can Jean trust the Lord Jesus to deal with the matters that she can't deal with? Can she do that? The Bible has a definite yes to that. In fact, the Bible says, sorry, I'm away from the speaker here. If you come over here, Rob. Okay. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves. But leave the way open for God's wrath. When God taught me how to forgive this way, a big thing, he said to me in my spirit, get out of my way. And I wondered what he meant. And then I remembered this verse. Leave the way open for God's wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Now, vengeance is not an evil thing, or else it would never have been attributed, it never have become a God's prerogative. By handing the charge sheet over to the advocate our advocate of the Father, we are in fact leaving the way open for God's wrath and God's vengeance. When we do that, we may find that our attitude towards our offender changes to one of profound sympathy. The first martyr of the Christian church, Stephen, feels such sympathy for those who are stoning him to death that he cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them. And it included Saul, who became Paul. Do not charge them with this offense. And when he had said that, he died. And it's highly probable that the early church were in the habit of placing all in Jesus' hands, including the persecutions and all the attending evils. Once Jean is trusting her advocate to hold the charge sheet to the back of Rob, she can step back in sheer relief that the whole matter is now between the Lord Jesus and Rob. And it's no longer between her and Rob. She is free indeed. Well done, Jean. She is free indeed. Thank you very much, Rob. The Lord Jesus will definitely hold Rob to account for the sin that he has committed against Jean. In other words, God does not, he said, I will repay. In other words, God does not forgive Rob just because Jean has. Rob needs to repent and be converted in order for God to forgive his sin. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Forgiveness is not easy in many a case. Jean may be tempted to take matters back into her own hands, especially if she isn't seeing God acting promptly. That temptation to take it back is from the devil and has to be resisted. She needs to walk in freedom. Rob's offenses are multiple, and Jean needs to commit every single one of them into the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ for him to handle the matter on our behalf. He won't even need to call her as a witness. He'll do it on his own. Such childlike faith, God rewards with joy, peace, freedom, and dignity. It also frees the Lord Jesus Christ up to begin to heal Jean's wounded heart. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he bore our transgressions, and he carried our sorrows. But how does God forgive? And how do we know that God has really forgiven us? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Jesus will not simply drop the charge sheet. then God's justice, righteousness, and holiness would not be satisfied. Instead, he chose to receive in himself the punishment that Rob's sins deserve. And this is how he did that. From 12 noon to 3 o'clock on the afternoon of his crucifixion, God laid upon his son. These are the ones that Jean and Robert dropped. He laid upon his son, the Bible says, the iniquity of us all. When that happened, darkness covered the face of the earth, the Bible says. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? At the end of those three brutal hours, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. This time he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. That means the debt has been paid in full. By the way, it's not just Rob's charge sheets here. There's yours and there's mine. Rob will need to turn around and face the Lord Jesus to tell him how genuinely sorry he is for his sin and to ask him to forgive him. If he does so, he becomes a reward for that sacrifice. Jesus would not have died for him in vain. I remember witnessing to a former SAS soldier and him saying to me, is there any sin God will not forgive? I gave him that illustration. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The debt is fully paid, said Jesus. So he needs to turn around and face the Lord Jesus, tell him that he's truly sorry for his sin, and ask him to forgive him. He'll need also to trust Jesus to be his savior. This is the only way I'm forgiven. It's through God forgives me in Christ, through Christ. He'll need to also give to Jesus Christ what God had given him in the first place, his whole life. Nothing short of it is what Jesus deserves. And own Jesus as his Lord and Master. And then he needs to believe that for Christ's sake, he is completely forgiven. Which leads me to the next question. What about Rob forgiving himself? The inspired hymn writer wrote these profound words. Forgive me if I get emotional reading them. Well, I know them off by heart. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. The way to forgive ourselves is to fully believe these words. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I woke up, I had a dream last night. I woke up believing there's somebody here. It's 11 years ago now. You had a termination. You've not been able to forgive yourself. You need to believe that your sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and you must bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We know that God has forgiven us not because we can't remember or he can't remember our sins. They form a part of our history and our testimony, but because God's forgiveness brings us a freedom from guilt, shame, and the fear of God's deserved judgment. His peace now rules my heart and yours if you trust in him. Jean will know that she's forgiven Rob his sin against her, not because she cannot remember those sins. They form part of her history and her testimony. This idea, forgive and forget, it doesn't work that way. You won't forget. But she will no longer feel anger, resentment, bitterness, malice, vengeful, or restless. She will no longer be holding the charge sheet against him. What about reconciliation? This is a lot in the news now, isn't it? The royal family. What about reconciliation? Is it a proof of forgiveness? No, it's not. Reconciliation that's not superficial and artificial, but deep and real, requires Rob to fully acknowledge the offense and to fully acknowledge the hurt that it has brought to Jean. Sorrow and grief are involved, and sincere apologies are in order. Forgiveness, on the other hand, that's commanded. Jean has no option. We have no option. It's commanded. Reconciliation, however, is conditional. And sadly, it does not always happen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." If he hears you, you'll be reconciled. Reconciliation doesn't always happen, sadly. It's not the proof of forgiveness. The proof of forgiveness is when we have put all in his hands, where we can say, "For all, I trust him." I'm going to end with a couple of stories. I preached this sermon at a church near Birmingham, and I asked for two volunteers, and from this side came Brian, and from that side came Jane. And they came and they did this act like we did with Rob and Jean, but on her charge sheet for the second, the big thing, it was adultery. It wasn't just adultery, by the way. It was all the deception that comes with adultery. It wasn't just that. It was the mental health issues that she and the children now face. And I went into detail about what was on her charge sheet. When it came to her handing the sheet over to Jesus to hold it against Brian, she got very emotional. So at the end of the service, I commented on that. She said, "What you had put on the charge sheet is exactly the same as I had on my charge sheet for my ex-husband." And then she dropped the bombshell. She said, "And his name is Brian." The other time I was asked, I just learned these lessons about forgiveness, and I was asked by a fellow pastor to come and help him with a difficult lady. We sat in the garden, had some tea, and then I said to her, "Can I be of help to you?" She said to me, she's looking me in the eye, she says, "I am a child basher, I get violent with my children." She paused to see my reaction. I just kept looking in her eye. Then she said, and I never wanted to be. So I said to her, are you telling me that you were bashed as a child? How did you know? How did you know? She said. Just the way you said, I never wanted to be. I imagine when you had your children, you thought, I'm never going to be like my dad. And she said it was her dad that beat her up. He used to get too drunk and beat her and her mother. She said, but when your children exasperated you, you went back to what you had learned as a child was, in your mind, it was normal parental behavior. And you resorted to that. Now you hate what you're doing and you hate your father for teaching you. So she said, what must I do? I said, you need to forgive him. Oh, she laughed at that. He's dead, she told me. I said, you still need to forgive him. Because forgiveness is setting the prisoner free. And you, my dear, are the prisoner. She said, we better go inside. She went inside, she cried her eyes out as she forgave her father for all that he had done. We prayed for her. She was very grateful. And the following week, we went on a follow-up. We were met by her friend. She says, are you the people that prayed for my friend last week? I said, yes, we were. Can't believe the change in her. She's so calm and so peaceful. We went in there, and she greeted us with great joy. She said, like a big cloud had lifted off her, black cloud. And she said, I really feel free. That first person, by the way, that was husband was Brian. I said to her, how do you feel? She said, I feel free. I feel free. And the Bible says, whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. It's to keep that freedom, of course. But I pray that these lessons, these things, will be something that will help you. You might need to forgive somebody something big. The small things you can just let drop. But the big things, you need to come to the Lord. And I want to say this. This is important. Because one person said to me, you make it sound too easy. I said to her, you need counseling if it's that hard. And she went for counseling. And she got her freedom. And you might need that yourself too. But whatever happens, God wants you to forgive so that you can walk in freedom. Shall we bow our heads and pray? We thank you, Lord. I thank you for the lessons that I learned that helped me hugely myself personally. But I thank you, Lord, that I've been able to share it time and time again with people who are holding charge sheets against others. People that are bound. People, Lord, that you love with all your heart and you want them free. And I'm praying, Lord, that whoever here may need that, may have needed this message. I know Prince Harry needs it, Lord. But there's some here that need it now. There's some that will need it in the future. For Lord, we live in a fallen world and things happen. In this world, you said, there shall be offenses, but woe to him by whom the offenses come. Lord Jesus, please help us, every one of us, to walk in your freedom. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.